Pastor George Utuck.
Of the word of God. Therefore, I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Believe it, shout hallelujah. Say glory. Say Jesus. Amen. Lord, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you. I know that this service belongs to you. Just take the word and break it down to every level. Let every one of us be able to get something out of this word that is going to make us better people. Thank you for hearing and answering us in Jesus' name. And those who love the Lord say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. I do receive it to be blessed. Receive it to be blessed. Receive it, you be blessed. Receive it. Do receive it, you be blessed. Amen. Receive it, you be blessed. We are raising millionaires in this church. Now, don't look at your present condition and judge yourself by where you are now, because we are taking you to somewhere. Amen. To be able to get there, then you have to take off the limits. You have to remove the limits of God and let God be God in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. This is the fourth in this series, and we found out that many times we hinder our blessings because we put limitations on who God is. What he can do. We know that God can do everything, but sometimes we try to limit him to doing it one way or doing it the other way, using one person or not using the other person. But I have found that, as the Bible says in Isaiah 59, it says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." I found out that if you let God, he will show you favor. I'm talking about free favor. You don't have to earn it. He will show you his love. His love is unlimited, wide as the ocean, high as the heavens above, deep as the deepest sea is my Savior's love. I may feel sometimes unworthy, but the fact is that I am still a child of his care, for his word teaches me that his love reaches me everywhere. I found out that when God wants to show you favor, you don't have to. Favor is just God doing something for you when you don't deserve it. I mean, he's breaking the barriers, removing the limitations. He's just showing you unusual goodness. And many times, you know, we think that God's going to show us favor because we have done this. See, we are brought up in a culture that says you have to earn everything. So he has to earn his pocket money. You have to earn your wife's love. Your wife has to earn your love. But aren't you thankful to God that that's not the way that God treats us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we should be lazy and not work. But what I have found out is that, you know, favor does a whole lot more than work can do. I wish I could tell you that I am where I am today because I work so hard. Now, I earned a PhD, but I'm not standing here because of my PhD. I'm standing here because of God's favor. I'm standing here because of God's love. I'm standing here because of God's grace. Grace. Marvelous grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace. God's grace. Grace that is greater than all of your sins and all of my sins. The Bible tells us that God piles grace on top of grace when he wants to deal with you and me. So we try to bring God down to human level. We think that he thinks like we do, or he does things that we do. But I have found out that he is an unlimited God. Amen? So don't limit God in your life. Never limit him in your life, because just as he is not limited in what he can do, how he can do it, where he can do it. The Bible tells us that he uses vessels of honor. He uses vessels of dishonor. He uses heathens. Amen. He uses Christians. Amen. He uses donkeys. Amen. I'm not saying that you are a donkey, but if you are, you ought to be happy, because God is about to use you. You know? So don't ever limit God to the way that you think, the way that you see things, because he is a whole lot bigger than that. Somebody say amen to that. And just like he's not limited in who he can use, what he can do, where he can do it, he's not limited in what he can do through you. May I say that again? Because when we look at other people, we say, oh, yeah, I know God can do that through them. But when it comes to ourselves, we look at our weaknesses, we look at our background, where we were born, where we weren't born, where we grew up, where we did not grow up, and we try to put a ceiling on how God can use us. Did you hear him say that I did not graduate from high school? I'm not saying, you know, you know that in this church, I encourage you to go back to school. And he went back and got his GED. And he went back and took classes that would help him with what he's doing now. But I wish I could tell you that, you know, he has a PhD on woods. You know, I make up my words. You know what I'm trying to say, you know. But it's just God's anointing. It's God's anointing. You don't have to really kill yourself to be able to make it in life. You just need to know God. When you know him and you love him, even with your frailties and your infirmities, I promise you that he will do for you what your education, your skills, everything that you've got together. I'm talking about your looks, because some of you think that just because you look so good, that is going to happen. But it's not going to happen, because you thank God for the looks. But let me tell you this, that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Don't ever limit what God can do in your life, because God has more for you than you have ever experienced. Don't somebody say, the best of you is yet to come. The best of you, Rob, is yet to come. It's not behind you. Because sometimes, you know, we look at our lives and we say, wow, look at what I have accomplished. But do you know that that's a very little, it's a drop in the ocean as compared to what God wants to do with you. The best of you is yet to come. It's not behind you. But you need to stretch yourself by faith to obtain all that God has for you. See, there's so much that is deposited in you that you become a robber when you do not tap into it. The things that are deposited in you and me are not for you. They are for people around you, for your community, for your family, for members of the church. So you must say to the Lord, if there is any field that is ready to be planted, I'm the field. I'm open to you, because I want to be the best that you want me to be. I want to do this not just for me, but for the sake of all the people that you are going to bring into my life. You know, somebody says, what's limitation? What do you mean by you limit God? What is a limit? A limit is a place of restriction. It's a place of confinement when you define a boundary. Limit has to do with being restrained or not receiving all that you should receive. I know that it sounds strange to us that we would limit God. Oh, God is all powerful. Even though God is all powerful, I also want you to know that, you know, you've got a will. God is powerful, but he's given us the choice. We can make choices. So how can you limit God? Let me tell you one way that you can limit God. By thinking and seeing yourself different than God thinks about you and sees you. How many of you have ever heard the scripture, "For as a man thinks, so is he"? Think about it. You probably will agree with me that nothing happens on the outside that you haven't seen on the outside. You are here because you saw yourself being here this morning. The people who saw themselves not being here this morning are not here. You are dressed in the dress or suit that you see yourself because you already saw yourself. So what you see in the inside is very important. Every one of us here has an image on the inside of us of who we are or what we are capable of doing. And every day you are going to manifest that image. That's why you don't need to take your clues from outside. You need to get into the Word of God and find out exactly who you are in God. And then meditate on that image until you can see it in the inside. And when you can see it on the inside, it will begin to explode on the outside. Many times we blame people for what we turn out to be. No, don't blame people for what you turn out to be, because nobody can make you what you are. Now, I'm not taking away from, you know, people, treating people wrong and so on and so forth. But let me tell you this. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter what was spoken over you. You can shake that off and step on it and rise. I mean, look at this. Think about some of the most successful people in different areas. Many of them grew out of pains. What the enemy threw at them to try to destroy them, they used that as a stepping stone. Not only to bounce back, but to touch the lives of other people. Hallelujah. Mothers against drunk drivers. This lady who formed a foundation to come against cancer. What is the hell? Coleman. Susan Coleman. When you look at different ministries, they were born out of pains. So what you are going through now may not necessarily be something to destroy you. It may be an opportunity for you to rise above that and use that as a stepping stone to minister to people around you. You don't want to miss an opportunity because you look too much on the outside. Look in the inside, because there is something that God has got for you. We all have the image of what we can accomplish. And most of the time we derive that image from the people around us, from our environment, where we grew up, who we were born to, who we were not born to. We sit down and wonder, if I was born to this person, I would be this. No, just because you are born into a family doesn't necessarily mean that you will take on the character of that family. You can just deviate and go anywhere that you want to. And you don't necessarily have to take the character of your family if they have some bad habits. By the grace of God, you are what you are today. Can somebody say amen to that? But I have found out that unfortunately, life circumstances and the enemy have successfully done a good job of beating out of us the dreams and the hopes that God placed in us. The enemy tells us that these dreams are too big to be accomplished. They are for other people. As a result, you know what we do? We just go back into our shells and end up suffering and end up hurting other people. Each of us has God-given potential, something that God has placed in us, and he placed those things in us for others. Amen? Rob as an accountant will be no good unless he uses the education and the skills to help others. Is that right? Dennis as a carpenter will be no good unless he uses the skills and the training to help other people. Is that right? You say, well, I'm not a carpenter. I'm not an accountant. But God has placed something in every one of us. You don't have to necessarily be an accountant or a carpenter or a doctor. You just need to find out what God has placed in you. Amen. I wish I was a carpenter. I wish I was an accountant. I wish I was a nurse. I wish I was a pastor. Like this little boy who said, when I grow up, I'm going to be a pastor. He said, why do you want to be a pastor? He said, because pastors tell everybody else what to do. See? Doctors tell everybody else what to do. I wonder why he didn't want to be a doctor. Lawyers tell everybody else what to do. But each and every one of us has got something that God has deposited in us. And if you don't reach your full potential, then you become a robber. You rob us. Because what is deposited in you, Raphael, is not for you. The music in you is not for you. So when I try to push you to play the horn, it's not that I'm trying to be ugly. I'm trying to get what belongs to me that is in the inside of you. When I try to push you to go back to school and get a good education, it is so that you can release the potential that God has given to you. If you don't reach your full potential, you become a robber. You rob us of the opportunity to be blessed by what you've got. There are some people whose miracles will not take place except through you. When God wants to bless you financially, don't misunderstand me. It's not just that you will buy a new car and buy a new house and buy. And if that's all that you want to do with money, then you've missed it. Because if you just want money to buy a house for yourself, then you've shot too low. Because I want to be in a place and I can give houses to people that have needs. I want to be able to be in a place that I can give cars to people who have needs. I don't just want money to pay my mortgage. I want to be able to surprise somebody during this Christmas and pay their rent and pay their mortgage. So when God places something in you, it is not for you. It is for the rest of us. And it's selfish for you to sit on it or to say, well, I don't want more. I don't want to go to that church. They're always talking about having more. This little house of mine, the Lord gave it to me. Nobody will take it away. Nobody's going to take it away from you. But how about you have a bigger house so that you can at least let people use the basement, I don't know, without having to charge them to pay your mortgage. This is family talk here. Don't try to limit God on how he can use you. But remember that your life today is the way that you have been seeing it. If you see yourself as a nobody, don't be surprised if everybody looks at you as a nobody, because what you think in the inside, you will play on the outside. Remember the children of Israel when they went to the promised land? They said that we saw this giant and we looked like grasshoppers. Grasshopper mentality. These were the people that God had already given them the land. The land belonged to them. And they're calling themselves grasshoppers. But everybody listening to me, I want you to know that your life today is the way that you have been seeing it. If you see yourself as a drunk for the rest of your life, I promise you that you will be a drunk. If you see yourself as indebted for the rest of your life, you will be indebted. If I was to pay off all your debts today, if your preoccupation is on debts, I promise you that in 6 months' time, you will go back to being in debt. How about you see yourself free? Amen. So that you will be able to help other people. Yes. Now let me ask you this. Why do you want to pay off your house so that you are not in debt? I promise you that you're going to get back in debt 6 months after that. Because you should be thinking about being able to pay off your house so that you can use that money to help other people. Amen. Help with the building fund. Help somebody else who needs some help. As a church, we should not be preoccupied with paying this. I was in Kenneth Copeland's ministers' conference a number of years ago. What's the name of this man? Mark Hammond said that they had prayed, they had fasted, they did everything because they wanted to raise about $20 million for their building. And after all the work that they did, they were only able to raise $5 million. And McHammon said, the Lord said to him, let me tell you what to do. I want you to take the $5 million and pay up the debts of the churches around. Now, what would you do if I came to tell you that the God wanted me to give the $15,000 that we raised last Sunday to another church? McHammon said, there was a pastor across the street whose members have left because I think it was a traditional church. The pastor was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to teach the word. And the members left and they wanted to strangle him. They said, let's see how he's going to pay this mortgage. So McHammon said, he called the pastor. He said to the pastor, I want you to go and check with your bank. What's the payoff balance on your church? And the pastor said, what do you want? He said, that's church secret. We don't share that kind of information with people. Mark Hammond said, I want to pay off your church. And he said, just give me an hour, I'll be back. McHammon said, the man went and got the balance, came back to his office. Mark said, I've heard that members of your church have left because you are preaching the word. Take this check, go and pay off your church and preach whatever the Lord places on your heart. Mark said, my office is on the second floor, and I see this man crying as he was going into his car to pay off. Why do you want to pay off this building? But Mark said, after I had distributed the $5 million that we took, money began to come in from places that we never had expected. And we raised $20 million a whole lot faster than we raised $5 million. I've also heard Joel Osteen share a testimony about his dad. Many years before the Compact Center, he said that the dad was struggling in this band, and he had asked the church to pray. He was going to take a building fund offering. They took in $6,000. As he was driving home, the dad saw this Hispanic church, and they have been building it little by little for a long time. And the Lord said, give the $6,000 to the Hispanic church to finish their church. So at first the father said, that must not be God, because we prayed about this. But he went on and he gave. He said that the dad, before they knew it, money began to come in, and they were able to build a 10,000 seats sanctuary. But he was saying one thing. He said, you know, what my dad was doing was preparing me for the Compact Center. He said, whenever I drive past that little church and see, thank you, Lakewood, for sowing, until today in Houston, that Hispanic church is still there with a sign, thank you, Lakewood, for helping us finish our church. Isn't that a blessing? Joel said, when my dad sold those $6,000, he was preparing me for this $100 million building that I'm preaching from. Don't limit, don't put a limit on God and what he could do, because your life is bigger than what you see. But it is what you see right now. Some of you need to change the way that you look at yourself, the way that you see yourself. You need to see yourself bigger than I grew up in the ghetto. I don't know my father. Aren't you thankful that you don't know him? You probably would be drugged out just like he is right now. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. Many of us need to change the way that we think about ourselves and the way that we think about what God can do in us, for us, and through us. We need to strive towards something bigger than ourselves. I always say this, that, you know, if your dream is what you can accomplish by yourself, then that dream is too big. I mean, too small. Somebody say too small. Because you need to dream for something that if God is not God, you are not going to be able to accomplish it. You can't dream too big. You can dream too small, though. That's why we have to stop putting restrictions on what we think God can do in our life. Let us give him something to work with. You think that when we started the Word of Faith ministry, when I quit my job in 1990 and we started the Word of Faith ministry, I was thinking that, well, I'm going to be standing here ministering to that people are going to be listening to us, watching us all over the world. I'm talking about all over the world. People watch our videos from England, from Nigeria, from different parts, from all over the United States. No, you just need to give God what you do have now. Talk to somebody, say, give God what you do have now. Stop being jealous and envious of people, thinking, well, if I had what they had. Give God what you do have now. Step out of your comfort zone. You will never grow until you step out of your comfort zone, because God will only bless what you give him to bless. Isn't that what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8? He says, I will bless the work of your hands. Let me say this. Everybody look at me. That all accomplishments, it doesn't matter how big your accomplishments is, it is nothing if it is not what God had created you to become. All your accomplishments are nothing if you haven't achieved, if you haven't accomplished his purpose for creating you. The good news is that God is willing to reveal to you what he's got in store for you. Amen? He wants to do more than you can ever think, more than you could ever imagine. That's why you need to remove the ceiling. Somebody say, remove the ceiling. You know, I heard a story some time ago of the people trying to conduct an experiment, and they put these bugs in a container, and they put a lid on it. And these bugs will fly and try to come out of the container, and they will hit the lid. And they tried that, and they tried that, and after some time, they did not try again. And the people who were doing the experiment opened the bottle and took off the lid. And they found out that the bugs would not move, because for some reason, they still thought that the ceiling was there. Isn't it interesting how we use our family background to put a ceiling? How we use our education to put a ceiling? How we use, I don't have money, to put a ceiling? How we use whatever we use, our color. I'm black, I'm white, I'm Hispanic, I know what you use. The enemy is so subtle that he's going to program your mind using your environment. But let me tell you this, that every one of us in this room is a barrier breaker. Amen. Every one of us is a pace setter. Amen. Every one of us is a pioneer. Yes, you can break away from the norm in your family, from the norm in your community, from the norm in your environment. And I promise you that if you do that, God is going to take off with you. Amen. See, the enemy has tried to squash out the image that God placed in us and tried to substitute something that has nothing whatever to do with God. The substitute image that the enemy places in us becomes a ceiling, becomes a limit to what we can accomplish. We see ourselves as nobody special. Every one of us here is someone special. Turn to yourself and say, I'm special. You are very special. You are like nobody else. So we tell ourselves, I'm just a common person. I'm not special. No, the Bible tells us that you are unique. You are special. God loves you. God favors you. God has plans for you. Plans that exceeds whatever you have accomplished, now whatever you have experienced. Now in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I've got a plan for you, plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We were made for greatness. Somebody say, I was made for greatness. Now say that with an attitude. Say, you know, don't just say it like pastor says to say it. Say it like you do believe. Say, I was made for greatness. You know why we are so shy about saying that? The reason is that, you know, we try to compare greatness with what somebody else is doing. We say, oh, I wish I had World Changers Church. Is that right? Have you been faithful? But what God has given to you now? Let me tell you this. When you have 20 members, you have 20 challenges. When you have 400, you have 400 challenges. When you have 10,000, you have 10,000 challenges. So it's not just like having numbers. You have to be groomed and prepared for the challenges. Can somebody say amen to that? One of the hardest ceilings that limits us and limits what God can do with our lives is judging ourselves with the wrong standard. We judge ourselves by the success, what we call success of others. If we feel that we're doing great, we just put a ceiling and we settle down. We judge ourselves based on outward things. Some people think they can't do anything because they're short. I have seen some tall people who think that they're too tall. Tall people want to be short. Short people want to be tall. Men want to be women. Women want to be men. Why? How about you just be who God created you to be? Amen? The reason why you are having this schizophrenic feeling is that, you know, you want to be what God never created you to be. I like to be a man. I'm sure that my wife likes it too. I'm so glad that she's a woman. We try to compare ourselves with each other and compare what we accomplish with what other people accomplish. Craig Lodola could not pastor Abundant Life Word Fellowship because if he could, God could have sent him to Eatonton. I know that shocks some of you. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that there is somebody who has that large number of people in Atlanta. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. What was Paul talking about? Because Paul was rebuking the Corinthians because they were judging him based on outward things like physical appearance or oratory or eloquence. Remember when some people said, well, we like Apollos because he's a very eloquent speaker. Paul was not a great orator, at least not as good as Apollos. Many of us think that Paul was 7 foot tall. No, you know, tradition tells us that Paul was just as about my height. So it doesn't take height or no height to do what God has called you to do. People judge him by his stature, but they were using the wrong standards. You are using the wrong standard to judge yourself. You just need to look at yourself as God made you. If you are tall, thank God that you are tall. If you are short, thank God that you are short. If you are black, don't try to be white. If you are white, don't try to be black. Because that's how you end up with cancer. Okay, you don't know what I was talking about, but that's okay. You know, just be who God created you to be. You know, be who God created you to be. They were judging him by his looks. But when you looked at Paul, even though he was not a great orator, even though he was not as tall as Peter and the rest of them, Paul was a giant. Paul never let his size, he never let his inability to speak like Apollos bother him. He took the limits off and literally changed the world. Do you notice that it wasn't Apollos that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament? As eloquent as he was. And God used Apollos. But he used Paul, who was not, excuse me, who was not eloquent. He took, because Paul took the limits. So Paul took the limits. He took the limits of God and literally changed the world. He wrote more than half of the books of the New Testament. Think about this. Aren't we still reading the revelation knowledge that Paul was given? Over 2,000 years later, we are still talking about him. And more importantly, we are still benefiting from his writings. I'm talking about the revelation that God gave to him. It's blessing millions of people all over the world today. That's the way that I want to exit this world. I don't want to be somebody else. I just want to be the best me that I possibly can be. Right here in Eatonton, I want to be the best me. Thank God so much for all the other churches. I thank God also for all the other ministries. But my prayer is, Lord, make me the best me that I possibly could be. And that's the prayer that you need to pray for yourself. Make me the best mother that I possibly could be, not just like the other mother. Make me the best father that I possibly could be, that you want me to be. Make me the best member of this church. I don't want to be competing with other members of the church. I just want to fit into my place. I want you to use me to the uttermost where you have placed me. Can somebody say amen to that? Lord, I want to be able to exit and leave an indelible mark on the next generation. That should be our aim. Our aim should be that we want to leave an indelible mark on the... You see, that's why I say that when I look at you guys, I look at you ladies, I'm believing the Lord that you people will grow up and absorb this word and take this word and come back and do a whole lot more than I have done. If I can get you to that place, then I have not really fulfilled the assignment that God had given to me. So what God has placed in me is for you. And you need to be able to tap into it. If you don't tap into it, then you rob me of the joy of seeing God bless you because you've tapped into this anointing. God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above. Somebody say exceedingly abundantly above. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably, without measure, more than we all can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. Somebody say, God is at work within me. Amen. Some God is at work within you. You know, when you graduate in Georgia Tech, if your aim is just make money, then you have missed it. Because there are some computer programs that are sitting in the inside of you. God wants to use it to bless other people. Amen. If you tap into what God has put in you and be a blessing to others, money will come easily. We focus so much on money. Money is the easiest thing to make. Yes, sir. But you just need to know what is it that is in the inside of you. If God has called you to clean, don't you know that there are cleanest millionaires today? You're looking at a carpenter millionaire there. Amen. You don't have to do what somebody else does. The other day, I was in a meeting and I saw this guy has a $4 million business. And that business is just, it's not in Atlanta, in Milledgeville. Taking care of the elderly. Just had that vision. You were in that meeting. You know, taking care of, he started here very little in Milledgeville. And now he's got how many locations? 4 locations. All over Georgia. And he said that my business has grown into $4 million business. Just taking care of the elderly. I know of a very rich young man. The father had turned the business over to him. Was just started cleaning buildings. And then God opened the door for him to be cleaning commercial buildings. And now he's making some good money. I know of a young man today. Companies use his songs for commercial. And I was talking to him the other day. He said to me, "Uncle, can you believe that I listen to my song? They use less than 30 seconds of my song and they pay me $70,000. Less than 30 seconds of his song. He said, "Uncle, I don't know what's going on." I said, "God is going on. Because we've been praying and we've been standing and we've been believing the Lord." I said to him, "You know what? I just believe that the song that the music that you wrote a number of years ago, somebody is going to call you for it." He said, "That's interesting. Because a few days ago, they just called me. Some song that I wrote in 2012, they want to buy it. They're going to be giving me $30,000, $50,000. Don't just sit there and say, "Well, I don't..." Use what God has given to you. That's what we are saying. Give God something to make use of. Can somebody say amen to that? You know, because when you are faithful in a little, he's going to make you faithful in much. Don't you know that I like it when he sends those checks to the ministry? He just received $1,000 the other day. You don't think I'm going to pray for that guy to be blessed? I'm not a fool, brother. What am I saying? What God is placing in you is more than for you. It is for the rest of us. And if you will let God, he will use it to his own glory. God wants to reveal his will to you. Somebody say amen to that. But in order for you to receive that understanding, you have to remove the limits. Don't limit him to what you think he can do. Don't evaluate yourself on just outward qualities because you are a new person. Somebody say, "If I'm in Christ Jesus, I'm a new person. All things are passed away. All those things, I don't know, I can do this, I couldn't do this, and this is only what I can, this is what I can do." Now let me ask you this as we close this. What is it that you really would like to do? Excuse me. If there were no limits or barriers on your way. If money was not the factor. If age did not matter. If God gave you a supernatural ability to do it, what is it that you would really like to accomplish in life? And whatever that is, if you get close to God and delight yourself in the Lord, I promise you that he will give you the desire of your heart. You won't get there in one day because Christ never got there in one day. There was a time that everybody rallied around to support Christ. And we would say to Christ, what is the B plan? And Christ says, Uncle, I don't have a B plan. It's either plan A or plan A. That was when people never did call him like they do now. Now, while Christ is sleeping, he's making money. Don't know how he was watching a commercial. And then he said, about less than 30 seconds, he heard the music. He said, that seems like my music. And he went to the internet. He found out that this company had already taken the music. They were going to pay him tens of thousands of dollars. What do you have that God can use? God is ready. Are you ready? Never limit God to what he can do in your life. Don't think I'm too old. Because Abraham did not start until he was 75 years old. Don't think I'm too young. Because God used young people in the scriptures. Don't think I was born in this family. I don't have this. Because when God calls you, he sets aside all of the people that you are going to need, all of the resources that you are going to need. I'm talking about material resources. Now, don't try to limit God to, oh, God is going to bless Pastor George and Pastor George is going to bless me. No, no, because God used heathens. How many of you have read in the scripture how God used heathens to provide for the people of God? Now, I've said to you people, now listen to me. Nobody here should go and play lottery. Amen. Don't do that because it can destroy you. Yes. But I know that all of you spiritual people are going to ask me, now, if somebody plays lottery and brings the money to you, would you reject it? No. 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 I can hear somebody say, well, I wish he hadn't said that. Completely thrown water on all that I had. No, no. Please don't do it because it will destroy you and destroy your family. But I heard Oral Roberts say a number of years ago. He said there was this horse race. You know what I'm talking about. This man has a truck in Florida. And he said, the man came to him. And he said, Oral, I don't like you because you have too big a mouth. I really don't like you, but something wants me to give you $2 million to help these students. And Oral Roberts said, thank you, sir. No, don't try to limit God to who he can use. Now, don't go out there to try to steal because I'll come to visit you and pray for you. Don't do that. Don't go out there to play lottery because somebody's going to, after I've spoken for how many minutes, somebody's going to say, oh, Pastor just gave me, I've been praying about a guy that related to the Lord a number of years ago called me and said, yeah, the Holy Spirit just gave it to me. I said, what? He said, giving me the number. I said, that's exactly what he said. I said, brother, the devil just talked to you. No, don't do that. But don't limit God to who he can use, how he can bless you, what he can do in your life or where he can take you, because if you take off the limit, if you remove the lid, you will fly higher than you could ever imagine. Was anybody blessed this morning? Yeah. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. If anybody is here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to let you know that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. All that you need is not to try to work hard to earn your salvation, because somebody paid the price for your salvation. All that you need to do is to just come and...